Hare Krishna. Very honored and pleased to have an opportunity to say a few words this morning. I'm going to leave in a few days, so I wanted to take this opportunity to thank you all for your association. And we'll, if you give me your blessings, we can maybe discuss something that is of help to all of you from this wonderful verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, very famous verse. Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text number 6. So please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya nadam caiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet nashta praishu abhadresho nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishne Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Debhisaha Kalauna Shtadrishamesha Puranar Kodhuno Ditaham Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Param Spungsam Ante Narayana Smritihi Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Parapungsam Ante Narayana Smritihi Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Parapungsam Ante Narayana Smritihi. Sadharma Parinishthaya. Ladies,
Thank you.
Etavan, all these, Sankhya, complete knowledge of matter and spirit. Yogabhyam, knowledge of mystic power. Swadharma, particular occupational duty. Parinishtaya, by full perception. Janma, birth. Labha, gain. Paraha, the supreme. Pungsam, of a person. Ante, at the end. Narayana, the personality of Godhead. Smritihi, remembrance. Translation. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Please repeat. The highest perfection of human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narayana is the transcendental personality of Godhead beyond the material creation. Everything that is created, sustained, and at the end annihilated is within the compass of the Mahat Tattva, material principle, and is known as the material world. The existence of Narayana, or the personality of Godhead, is not within the jurisdiction of this Mahat Tattva. And as such, the name, form, attributes, etc. of Narayana are all beyond the jurisdiction of the material world. By the speculation of empiric philosophy, which discerns matter from spirit, or by cultivation of mystic powers, which ultimately helps the performer to reach any planet of the universe or beyond the universe, or by discharge of religious duties, one can achieve the highest perfection provided one is able to reach the stage of Narayana Smriti, or constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead. This is possible only by the association of a pure devotee, who can give a finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all jnanis, yogis, or karmis. In terms of prescribed duties defined in scriptures, there are many historical instances of the achievement of spiritual perfection, such as that of the Sanakadi Rishis or the nine celebrated Yogendras, who attain perfection only after being situated in the devotional service of the Lord. None of the devotees of the Lord ever deviated from the path of devotional service by taking to other methods, as adopted by the jnanis or yogis. Everyone is anxious to achieve the highest perfection of his particular activity, and it is indicated herein that such perfection is Narayana Smriti, for which everyone must endeavor his best. In other words, life should be molded in such a manner that one is able to progressively remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every step of life. Can we have Bhagavad Gita as it is? Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yatapada Kamadam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes quite often throughout his books. Etavan Sankhya Yoga Pyam Sudharma Parinishtaya Janma Labha Parah Pungsam Ante Narayana Smriti. The highest perfection of human life achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. So, ataha param anyat shreyo nasti tyaha, Sridhar Swami comments here. Etavaneva janmano labha phalam tam aha. That in this verse he's pointing out that there really is no higher aim, no shreya. The word shreya means the super excellent thing, the best thing that you can go for. There's nothing other than this devotional service. This is the point. People have the idea that they're going to get some fruit, some gain out of their birth. And they do this by these three methods, etavan eva, only by these three methods in general. People don't take so much to bhakti. They're thinking by karma, by yoga, or by jnana. Now, here Prabhupada's translation is very thoughtful. He told us that he chooses each and every word very carefully when he's translating these books, and you can see that in this verse. He makes it a point to qualify the highest perfection of human life because these three things are the concerns of real human beings. It's not enough to be a biologically correct human being. You have to actually be engaged in one of these three processes that we find throughout the Shastras. We don't find anything else beyond these three things regarding material existence until we come to bhakti. Well, we can qualify that, actually. Because here in his purport, Srila Prabhupada says, also, only a pure devotee can give a finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all jnanis, yogis, and karmis in terms of prescribed duties as defined in the scriptures. So, although we dismiss yoga, well, let's go in order, because there is an order here. Sankhya means jnana, And yoga means Ashtanga yoga, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others. And Swadharma Parinishtaya. Swadharma Parinishta means karma. Karma is also known as dharma. If it's not dharma, then it's not actually karma. It's called what instead? Vikarma or papa. So punya or dharma or karma, these are all three, one and the same thing. And anything other than that within the material world, the world of fruitive activities and their reactions, is called papa or vikarma. Now, when we come to devotional service, we have to figure out a way to somehow or other resolve this problem. I want to be... This is a huge problem for anyone aspiring to spiritual life. We find this quite a bit. How do I live in this world and at the same time be transcendental to it? The karmis and the gyanis and the yogis, they don't have any really workable method of doing this. And so they adopt artificial means one after another after another. And they generally don't get the supreme perfection from their activities. Only devotional service can actually do that. And therefore, Prabhupada puts it very neatly here. Finishing touch. And what is that finishing touch? The touch of a pure devotee. A pure devotee has to come into your life and put everything in perspective for you. And Srila Prabhupada's books do this so nicely. So clear. I'll read it again, just because it's so wonderfully stated. To reach the stage of Narayana Smriti, or constant remembrance of the personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada says, is possible only by the association of a pure devotee who can give a finishing touch to the transcendental activities of all gyanis, yogis, and karmis. Now, I said there's an order here. In the verse, there's an order. First Sankhya, then Yoga, then Karma. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada retains that order by mentioning them in that order. Gyanis, Yogis, and Karmis. I've noticed that in the commentaries in Sanskrit on this verse, at least that of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sridhar Swami and others, they also sustain the same order because there is importance there. We're going from the most subtle to the most gross. The most subtle thing is that you're completely absorbed in spirit. The gyanis can do this for some time, at least. They may not be able to sustain it for very long, but they can actually come to the transcendental platform. Yoga is interesting because in yoga, you get a range of motives behind those who are practicing yoga. We see this especially in this vikarmic society in which we live. I mentioned that in the beginning. No one is concerned about anything, shreya, anything higher than immediate gratification, which is called preya. So yoga, this process of Ashtanga yoga, has been turned into what in the modern world? Yeah, fat reduction. Basically to improve your sex life, as Prabhupada often says. Pilates, they call it, or so many other concoctions. It's, you know, so they steal from the Vedic literature, but they don't give credit and they try to exploit for their personal sense gratification, or they try to make a business out of it. Generally, this is what we see. So yoga can have this mundane motive. And traditionally, also, even in India, we find that those who are practicing yoga, they sometimes want what? Siddhi. Siddhi means a particular perfection. You want to have anything that you want like that. You can do it if you have the discipline. You want to control another person. You can do it if you have the discipline. How many? 8 different kinds of siddhis we hear about in Vedic literature. They can actually give you a great advantage in life, in material life at least. So people who are thinking of people who have any degree of discipline are thinking like that. When I was, many, many years ago, I was in Haridwar, and I saw, standing at the bank of the Ganga, I saw one yogi coming out of the water. I didn't see him go into the water. I only saw him come out of the water. That's something else that is also significant, but we won't dilate on it. So there was a big crowd around him, and someone produced a empty bottle, glass bottle, limca bottle. Those who have spent time in India, you know it as limca. So this yogi took the bottle in his palm like this, and he went, shh. He reduced it to powder and poured it out on the bank of the Ganga. How he did it, I don't know. But they do things like that. This is called siddhi. You can do things that people can't understand. Actually, the Prabhupada said there's no such thing as magic or as mystic, you know, powers. Just we don't know the process. So there is a process. But that process entails a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline. So the yogis, at worst, they're inspired by these kinds of gross aims. But, as I said, it's a range. It's rather, I should say, it's a spectrum, all the way from black to white. So at some point, those who are a little bit more advanced, they want to meditate and become transcendental, and they try for that in various artificial ways. Kundalini yoga and other kinds of yoga. And at best, as Srimad Bhagavatam typifies, the yogis, at best, what are they doing? Dhyanavastita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yoginaha. Famous verse. The yogis who are really perfect in that practice, what are they meditating on? Paramatma. They think they can go that far. This is a secondary stage. So yoga is a kind of a range of motives behind it. And sometimes you'll notice in this verse, Sankhya Yoga Abhyam, it's paired with the word Sankhya. Why is that? There are six classical darshans or philosophies. Purva Mimamsa, also called Karma Mimamsa. Or Uttari Mimamsa, also called Vedanta. Those are one pair. Another pair is Nyaya and Vaisheshika. That is logic and, you can say, you know, new logic, which is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great scholar of Navya Nyaya, which is also called Vaisheshika philosophy. And here we have Sankhya and Yoga. Why Sankhya and Yoga? Because Sankhya means the theory, Yoga means the application. They're the same essential endeavor in many cases, but they're also different. There is a distinction here, but they're closely related, and that's why they're paired here. But we're not talking about this pair here. We're talking about three things. Sankhya and yoga and, what is the third thing? Swadharma parinishtha. We mentioned already, dharma means karma. So a person tries to do his karma very nicely. How do we do our karma very nicely? Let's have some sagacious ideas about this. How does one actually come to this stage of swadharma parinishtha? By following Vedic injunctions. And where do we hear this from Krishna? How do we know that's true? How do you know this? Who says so? Nice try. Better yet, but still not on the money. They're not incorrect answers, but what I'm thinking of is in chapter 16, to give you a hint. The end of the chapter. Chapter verses 23 and 24. Yes. What not to do and what to do. Tasmat chastram pramanam te karya karya vijanataha. Acharati atmanah shreyas ityadi, he says. If you're looking to do something valuable, shreyas means something super excellent, something preeminent, worthwhile. He says, then you have to discriminate, what am I going to do and what should I not do? And on what basis do you decide what to do and what not to do? On the basis of what the Shastra says. That is called karma or dharma. You only do things that are enjoined in the Vedic literature. You do not do anything that is prohibited in Vedic literature. So one can actually get very far by that process. And one should actually get very far by that process. This is the point. Finishing touch means your work is not done yet until you understand that this is all going somewhere. This is something that has been pointed out. Let's jump ahead two chapters, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does in his own commentary. He's citing a verse from chapter 3, text number 11. Very similar verse. Listen closely. Etavan eva yajatam ihanishreya sodayaham bhagavat yajalo bhavo yad bhagavata sangataha. Beautifully put. All the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. This is a great, great principle here that Prabhupada also emphasizes in his own purport when he says, this is possible only by the association of a pure devotee. You can be Swadharma Parinishtha, that's fine. We do not discourage it. In this day and age, we should not discourage any endeavor to do anything in the general realm of Shreyas, because it's so rare. People are so animalistic now in Kali Yuga, they're only thinking about immediate gratification. No one is thinking about any long-term benefit, practically speaking. So it's not something that we should discourage. Now, it's interesting because this verse that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted from chapter 3, text number 11, this comes at the end of a long list of all different demigods that one might worship. You know these verses. We've heard this. If you want to have be absorbed in jnana, then you should worship Lord Brahma or Brihaspati. If you want sex life, you should worship Indra. If you want children, you should worship the Prajapatis. If you want good fortune, you should worship Durga Devi, adi, adi, adi. It goes on like this. So, Bharetavan, out of all of these, eva yajatam iha nishreya sodayaha. If you want the real highest benediction, then Bhagavati achalo bhava. You should have unflinching love. Bhava means love. Bhava bhakti. For the personality of God at Bhagavan. And how do you get that? Yet. The word yet is sometimes used as, you know, to express the cause of something. Yet bhagavata sangataha. It only comes from association of the bhagavatas, the pure devotees. So this is the point. And Prabhupada emphasizes this point, as it should be so, in his own purport. So then one might question, okay, I mentioned already that Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, in today's purport, that the transcendental activities of the jnanis, yogis, and karmis. How are their activities transcendental? Okay, jnana is transcendental because that is dealing with self-realization. Jnana means understanding that I am Aham Brahmasmi. But what about karma and yoga? How are they necessarily transcendental, especially if you're practicing Pilates instead of yoga? It's an interesting thing. We hear in chapter 16 again, in text number 4, Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, maybe it's not there, sorry. Anyway, he mentions also that these activities are transcendental. If one performs his mundane duty in this material world for the purpose of pleasing the Lord, that is considered transcendental. It's also considered devotional service, but of a very low order, immature bhakti, like a green mango as opposed to a ripe mango. Green mango has its use in Ayurveda. You know, but they have different results. If you take green mango, it has one result. If you take ripe mango, it has a different result, according to Ayurveda. So karma in and of itself, without the finishing touch, as we said, of bhakti, it is only karma, and you remain in the realm of karma. You don't really get elevated, but you don't go down. This is the point. And especially if you're trying to please the Lord, then that's good. And what do we hear from Vishnu Purana about pleasing the Lord through Varnashrama? Dharma? Varnashrama acharavata purushena para? Yes? What is the rest of the verse? Vishnur aradhyate pungsan nanyat tato shakaranam. For the person whose adhikar is there only, there is no other way to please the Lord. He has to do that thing. We should all come up beyond that. But if that is your adhikar, then that is what you have to do. And that is what the spiritual master will order you to do. And that is, in fact, what the spiritual master did order us to do. Something to think about. All right. So if we get the benefit from karma or dharma, then where do we come? Maybe it brings us through yoga. We come to the stage of jnana. This is the point. Jnanadhikara. Shankaracharya, in his Bhagavad Gita commentary, also points out that a person doesn't really have adhikar to study Vedanta Sutra unless he's actually assimilated good character, sadachara, or, in other words, he's swadharma parinishta. He's fixed in his swadharma. Swadharma means your own dharma, not somebody else's dharma. Your dharma. Okay. So that gyan, that is always transcendental. Generally, we can say that. Unless there are those who are pseudo-gyanis, they're trying to hide. Just like Dev Amrita Swami wrote this nice book, Hiding in Unnatural Happiness. This describes the position of the conditioned soul. Hiding in unnatural happiness. So some people hide in unnatural happiness. Other people hide in so-called transcendental realm. These are the impersonalists, the Mayavadis especially. Their jnana is not transcendental because the Mayavadis are offensive. But if one is progressive as a karmi, then he will come to the stage maybe of yoga, or he can go even further still to the stage of jnana. And when one is in the situation of jnana, where is that described, the importance of jnana in Bhagavad Gita? Many places. But yes, after many births, it generally takes a long time. What about chapter 18? What does Krishna say vis-a-vis bhakti and this jnana, or we can call it Brahmabhuta realization? Anyone know? Prasannatmana shochiti nakangshati. Mad bhaktim levate. You only get bhakti if you're actually already situated in self-realization. Before then, what do we call it? Prakrita bhakti. Prakrita bhakti, material bhakti, or we can call it bhakti abhas, pseudo bhakti, shadow bhakti. You see? Real bhakti comes through gyan, and gyan comes through karma, dharma. So these things are very important, actually. Vishila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur points this out. Now, since we've quoted chapter 3, text number 11, from this Bhagavatam, from this canto, rather, the point of coming to the point of worshipping all these devatas is to come to the point of being blessed with the association of a pure devotee and being able to take advantage of it. There's value in dharma. You have good character. You have some purity of heart if you are a dharmic person in this world. That is very beneficial for that time that you come in contact with a devotee, pure devotee. Because then you can take advantage of that pure devotee's association. So many disciples came to Srila Prabhupada, 5,000 of them. Where are they now? Yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmuktaha bhajante mantradhavradaha. Krishna tells Arjuna that the person who can sustain a mature commitment to pure devotional service is that person who has become enlightened because of the purification of his heart, which results from these pious activities. If we don't undergo these things, then we have problems, and Srila Prabhupada saw that. And we've also seen that. Maybe we've even experienced that. So, this is the importance of dharma, the importance of yoga. Yoga means focus, dhyana. Dhyana actually means to focus. I was telling someone the other day. In Japanese, have you ever heard of, we've all heard, Zen Buddhism. Where does the word Zen come from? It comes from the Korean word Chan. And the Korean word comes from Chinese word. How do you say it in Chinese? Do you know? Chan. Same, I think. Comes from the Sanskrit word dhyan. Focus. If you take all the diffuse ravikirana, the sun rays, that are covering the whole world, and you collect them together in one pinpoint through a magnifying glass, then you can create a fire that can burn down half of California. Whole western United States now, every summer, we get these massive fires that they're unable to control. We don't want to give anyone any ideas, of course. But the point is that focus is what is very powerful here. And that is the great benefit of yoga. So the great benefit of karma is you don't go down, for one thing. You get some purification of heart, and you get adhikar for gyan. The great benefit of yoga is that you have the ability to focus. And the great benefit of gyan is that that is the substrate of bhakti, as Krishna says in 1854. But none of these has use, ultimately, for the purpose of Narayana Smriti, unless and until one is touched by a pure devotee and given the great mercy of this chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra Sankirtana process. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So ante Narayana Smriti. At the time of death, we should be able to remember, at least, this Harinama Mahamantra. And better than that is we can actually chant this Mahamantra at the time of death. Why is that important? Because we're all dying. When? You don't know. Or maybe you do know. I don't know. But we're all going to die. What are you going to do about it now? Whatever bhajan we have done in this life, it's going to be tested at that time. So take it in, deep into the heart. This is the point. So ante, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I'm stopping now. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one final comment he has mentioned here. Janmana evante Narayana Smriti paro labha iti kechidahuh. Some people say that ante refers to the end of your life. And Srila Prabhupada says this in his purport. Otherwise, it's not the only way that it can be taken. Ante can mean at the end of each of these three processes. At the end of karma, you should come to the point of Narayana Smriti. At the end of your yoga, it should bring you to the point of Narayana Smriti. And at the end of jnana, as somebody mentioned, jnanavan mam prapad, what is it? Bohunam janmanan ante jnanavan mam prapadyate ityadi. You should come to the point of remembering Narayana. So two ways we can interpret ante here. At the end of these three processes or at the end of your life. But certainly at the end of your life, that's the most important thing. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's translation reflects that. All right. So there's much, much more. I forgot one thing. Is the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives some examples. So, okay, fine. This theory is convincing, but, you know, where's my example? Who's my exemplar? Who do I emulate? The persons who came to perfection, came to bhakti, by executing jnana faithfully, were whom? Think of the Bhagavatam. Some examples of someone who was jnani before came to bhakti. Kumars. Four Kumars. That is exactly the example given here by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Who practiced yoga in the Bhagavatam and ultimately was able to come to bhakti as a result of that yoga practice? Dhruva. Progressive. Huh? Dhruva. Okay, Dhruva. Anyone else? Nine other persons. Navi Yogendras. Yogendra means Yogeshwara, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Navi Yogeshwara. And who came to bhakti through karma? Prachina Barhi Shad. Prachina Barhi. So we have examples of persons who were progressive in these respective paths and ultimately came to the platform of pure devotional service, but in each and every case it involved what? The touch of the pure devotee, the finishing touch of the pure devotee, who gives one the proper direction and inspiration, guidance. All right, so I'll stop here. Anyone have any comments or any questions on any of this? Yes, Shachitanoi Prabhu.
At one point you mentioned that verse, Swadharma Parinishtaya, that
that's this verse.
Yeah, it's right there. Uh-huh. Everyone should be encouraged. So,
yeah.
According to these descriptions, you know, jnana and perfect, even karma yoga, now at the present age, no one is familiar to this. It's foreign to them.
As I said in the beginning,
very foreign.
You're dealing with non-humans here. You have to give them some appreciation of even karma and yoga and jnana, right, when to speak of bhakti.
So then, no one qualifies. At the same time, we have this, how do you say, order by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go and distribute it to, even if they don't qualify.
Yes.
So,
well, therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in this Kali Yuga, there's no such thing as anything else. There is no other way. Brihannaradiya Purana also, you know. Nasyeva, nasyeva, nasyeva. That means no karma, no yoga, no jnana. They don't really work. Then why the instructions are there? Because they actually do work if you're a devotee. And they can only work if you're a devotee, and they must work, even though we're devotees. Because we can't advance otherwise. You can't get to the 100th floor of the Empire State Building without somehow negotiating the previous 99 floors. You will go through these stages. But you're doing it through the agency of bhakti, and particularly through the mercy of the spiritual master only. But the purification has to go on. It's not that there's an easy... My logic professor, Dr. Karl Potter, he wrote a book called Presuppositions in Indian Philosophy. So he talks about leap philosophies. Leap philosophy means you can just imagine yourself to be, you know, without all doing all the hard work, you just leap into an alternate state of consciousness and you're liberated. Mayavad is the best example of that. They just, well, I'm one with everything and my work is done because I'm already God. I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. Arjuna wanted to go and sit on the side and watch Krishna kill everyone, but Krishna didn't allow him to do that. This is why people go for karma and for yoga and for jnana instead of bhakti. Because if you have bhakti, that means there has to be Bhagavan. And if there's Bhagavan, it's understood he's better than all of us. That means I'm accountable to do what he wants instead of whatever I want. This is the problem. People want to be independent. So somehow or other we trick them. We give them prasadam. We chant Hare Krishna. We let them dance. Hote, hote, they'll become purified. But when we start to think about what we're doing, when we become a little serious about what we're doing, then we have to consider what is the meaning of these verses, like today's verse. Very, very important verse, as I said. Prabhupada quotes it quite a bit. Is that an okay answer?
Yes. Just one last point. You also mentioned that Prabhupada initiated about 5,000 or more, and then where are they?
So some are still here.
Yeah. Someone would say, well, what happened to the torch of the pure devotee? How can you reconcile that?
Well, it's like someone throws you a life preserver when you're drowning in the ocean of material existence. Your choice. What are you going to do with it? You can hold on. You don't have to hold on. My godbrother gave a very nice analogy. If you're in an elevator and you're going up somewhere in the building, so when the elevator door opens, then you have a choice to make, don't you? You don't have to get out of the elevator when the door opens. You can stay in the elevator if you want. But understand, my dear, you're going somewhere else once that door closes. This is human life. This is a short window of opportunity that you can get out of the elevator. You have to take it. People become overwhelmed by asatsanga. And then they just stop holding on and then they float off. And they'll come back at some point, but who knows where or when. Is that okay? Yes. Gauranga Prem.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. So you were mentioning Bhava Bhakti in your lecture. I'm just wondering, what is the symptom of a person who has that Bhava Bhakti? And what is the difference between this Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti? Can you explain it a bit more?
Okay, this is a big topic. There are 9 symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. This is all described in Nectar of Devotion. You can look it up. Just in a nutshell, I'll say that Bhava Bhakti is the dawning of Prema. It is the same thing as Prema. It is not different from Prema. But it is just the beginning stage of Prema. It's not fully, manifest or explicit, maybe is another way we can put it. The analogy is given, when the sun rises in the morning, the light is there. You can see things. It's different than it was in the nighttime. But you can't see the sun yet. So Bhava Bhakti is like that. Is that okay?
Yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
The short answer we'll have to do. Somebody else, yes.
Hi, Prabhuji. Thank you for your class. I was wondering, you know, they claim that in India, yogis live for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. I was wondering, if you meditate on Krishna and then you see his effulgence, how you pass through the effulgence? And if they live so many years, and if you feel the effulgence and you feel that close to Krishna and you feel already realize that the body is a burden, this thing is on the way. So why they keep doing it for such a long time? I mean, if you reach to that point where you see the effulgence, why don't you just jump in it and forget about it? Why they keep doing it all the time? I mean, just to be a magician or be a clown?
One has to mature spiritually. If we're not ready to, why is it that somebody will take to karma only, dharma, but he won't go further than that? He's not mature. The purification of the heart is insufficient to bring him beyond that, adhikar. So he stays in that. He doesn't go down, because he's working under the authority of the Vedas, and he's getting some punya from that, which is good. And it will ultimately qualify him to take advantage of mercy from a pure devotee when he gets it. But, you know, it takes some time to mature. In most cases, when we plant a seed, the seed doesn't immediately sprout. It may take some time. So it's like that. Different people are in different stages of spiritual maturity. And this is an invisible thing. It's very, very, very subtle. And that's why many people miss it altogether. But that has to be there for a person to really take advantage of the teachings of a pure devotee and for a person to really apply those teachings properly in his life and get the benefit from them. It takes some spiritual maturity. Therefore, we're chanting every day. Pratidinam, Rupa Goswami says in his Upadeshamritam. Every single day, even it tastes bitter sometimes because we have jaundice. When you have jaundice, sweets taste bitter. But we still do it anyway. And gradually, it, as our disease is eradicated, then we begin to taste. It takes some time. Is that okay? All right. I think we should stop here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.